Have you ever pushed through exhaustion so long that you forgot what energy feels like? Standing in a cardiovascular ICU, watching my brother fight for his life with a 45% survival chance, I made a choice that seemed heroic at the time. I would coordinate his care while finishing my doctoral dissertation. No excuses, no delays. I slashed sleep, abandoned exercise, ghosted friends, and doubled my work hours. For a while, this superhuman schedule worked. I finished my dissertation and set a defense date. Then the crash came. Not dramatic, but insidious. Enthusiasm drained away. I moved through days in a fog, irritable and hollow, watching the clock during clinical rotations. All my productivity hacks and rigid routines only tightened the noose. This breakdown taught me what no textbook could. Sustainable success isn't about gritting harder, it's about protecting your pulse. 2 decades later, I've built an award-winning positive psychology practice and coached hundreds of clients across industries. Yet everywhere I look, I see people making my old mistakes. John, a customer success manager, took global calls at all hours until his performance collapsed. Keisha, newly promoted to VP, overcommitted to prove herself worthy until she couldn't deliver on anything. Angelo, a sales executive, powered through until family responsibilities made his unsustainable pace impossible. The numbers are staggering. 60% of employees report constant stress, 77% have experienced burnout in their current job, and workplace stress kills an estimated 120,000 Americans annually while costing the economy up to $300 billion. Yet 4 dangerous myths persist. First, burnout isn't about toughness. It happens when job demands and human capacity become mismatched through workload issues, lack of control, insufficient rewards, poor support, unfairness, or value conflicts. Second, burnout isn't a switch that flips. It's a gradual erosion, showing up as exhaustion, cynicism, and ineffectiveness. Third, burnout isn't trivial. The WHO recognizes it as a serious occupational phenomenon affecting health and relationships. Fourth, burnout isn't just a personal problem requiring better self-care. It's a workplace issue demanding solutions at individual, team, and organizational levels. We worship lone wolves who break rules and defy odds. Alex Honnold's ropeless climb of El Capitan seems like the ultimate maverick story. But Free Solo reveals the truth. Honnold spent over a year preparing, practicing the terrifying boulder problem section 2,000 feet up hundreds of times with ropes, memorizing every finger placement, keeping detailed journals, and visualizing every movement. This isn't maverick behavior, it's methodical mastery. When startup founder Adesh wanted executive presence overnight, I reminded him he'd built his company through small, strategic stretches, progressing from team meetings to department presentations to board addresses. Compare this to my father's maverick moment, jumping into a swimming hole's deep end without knowing how to swim, nearly drowning, and developing a lifelong fear of water. The wheel of wariness spins fastest when we chase dramatic transformation, vague goals, mindless attempts, skipped reflection. Real achievement comes from the stretch spiral. Plan deliberately, practice with focus, ponder what worked. Growth without burnout isn't about being fearless, it's about being strategic. Escaping the wheel of weariness requires a different rhythm. Plan, practice, and ponder. Think of professional big wave surfer Tyler Fox at Mavericks, riding walls of water that could crush him. He didn't just go for it. He assessed conditions methodically, brought professionals for feedback, and treated every attempt as data collection. Effective planning means finding your 4 to 7 on the effort scale, enough challenge to grow without drowning in anxiety. Practice isn't about repetition, it's about experimentation. For steady pulse people, fail means first attempt in learning. Mistakes become information, not indictments. Then comes pondering, the step most people skip. Harvard's Teresa Amabile discovered that tracking even tiny wins activates brain reward circuits, releasing motivation-fueling chemicals. After practice, ask, what worked? What could work better? Why didn't that approach land? When you cycle through plan, practice, ponder repeatedly, you create an upward spiral rather than a frantic wheel. Each iteration refines your approach, building progressively towards your goal while maintaining energy reserves. It's not sexy or dramatic, but it works. And more importantly, it lasts. Summiting Mount Kilimanjaro while suffering severe altitude sickness taught me how dangerous self-criticism becomes when things go wrong. My inner voice overrode every warning. You can't turn around now. You're a psychologist who knows peak performance. If you can't use your knowledge to reach the top, no one will respect you. I made it to the summit for a success selfie, but the descent nearly killed me. Four porters had to carry me down at full speed as my condition deteriorated. The antidote is tidy thinking, replacing chaos with clarity through three swaps. Trade concern for curiosity. Instead of catastrophizing, ask what else might be true. Replace criticism with compassion. Treat yourself like you'd treat a struggling friend. Swap consumed thinking for calibration. Zoom out and assess whether your thoughts match reality. Mindfulness practices reinforce these shifts. Try observe and describe. Notice your environment in detail without judgment. When stress overwhelms curiosity, return to coherent breathing. Slowing to 5 or 6 breaths per minute hacks your nervous system into calm. Bill Gates disappears twice yearly for 7-day think weeks, unplugging to read and reflect in solitude. If the world's most productive people need time out to have quality time in, why do we glorify constant hustle? Leisure isn't an afterthought. It's essential for psychological and physical replenishment. True leverage comes from silence, sanctuary, and solitude. Start digital silence with a technology audit. Observe your habits for a week, categorize behaviors to keep, tweak, stop, or start, then implement changes gradually. Modern humans spend just 5 hours weekly outdoors, causing measurable psychoterrorica, nature deprivation. Nature immersion lowers cortisol, decreases inflammation, boosts immunity, and increases mood, vitality, and creativity. Solitude activates your brain's default mode network, enhancing clarity and self-awareness. In one study, participants chose electric shocks over sitting alone with their thoughts, revealing our profound discomfort with our own company. Embracing JOMO, joy of missing out, isn't selfish. It's essential maintenance. Ancient wisdom embraces this. Italian dolce far niente, Dutch Nixon, Jewish Sabbath traditions. Your mind needs tending like a garden. Pull the weeds of untidy thinking before they choke out everything else. When Eliud Kipchoge broke the 2-hour marathon barrier, headlines celebrated his superhuman achievement. Yet pacers blocked wind, nutritionists planned fuel, engineers designed shoes, and meteorologists selected conditions. Like redwood trees whose intertwined roots withstand powerful forces, humans require interdependence to thrive. Yet 45% of adults worldwide feel regularly lonely, rising to 62% of Gen Z. This isolation carries health consequences equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes daily. People with meaningful relationships are 50% more likely to survive over a given period. Colin, a law firm partner caring for a husband with cancer while raising children, refused support. "I'm the foundation. If I break, everyone will crumble." Securing support through the 3 Bs, belonging, breadth, and boundaries, isn't weakness, it's wisdom. One group member's mood can infect others. Positive contagion improves cooperation. We gravitate towards similar people, yet diverse networks provide new ideas and opportunities. Clear boundaries enable sustainable generosity. Like Johan, who gives until exhausted and resentful, many fear being labeled difficult. But boundaries aren't separation. They're relationship-facilitating rules that maintain self-respect while saying yes to what truly matters. In a world demanding do more, have more, be more, Bessie Coleman's story offers a different blueprint. Born in 1892, she faced insurmountable barriers to becoming a pilot. Every American flying school rejected her. Rather than fighting immovable obstacles, she strategically redirected her efforts, learned French, secured financial support, and attended flight school in France. On June 15, 1921, she became the first African-American woman to earn a pilot's license, 2 years before Amelia Earhart. She performed in flight shows while refusing segregated events, staying true to her values even when it cost her opportunities. When we fail to evaluate our effort consistently, everything feels equally important, like a pilot pulled off course by every urgent request. The three E's of effort evaluation serve as your personal instrument panel. Enduring principles represent your why, the strengths and values that make challenging work sustainable. Energy management matters more than time management. While everyone has 168 hours weekly, energy can be replenished. Your brain consumes 20% of daily energy, despite being only 2% of body weight. Emotions aren't obstacles, they're vital data. Beware toxic positivity, overriding authentic emotions with forced cheerfulness. Research shows accepting emotions leads to fewer negative emotions over time. Burnout isn't personal failing, it's a signal of misalignment. The path forward lies in honoring your limits, tending your connections, and aligning your energy with what genuinely matters.